Okay, so the focus for today, the topic for today, is the mechanics of nature meditation. It's very interesting. When I did my nature meditations, like I've mentioned a few times, probably you've heard me say this, I didn't really recognize how important meditating in nature was. I ascribed, and this is typical, it's a typical human bias. We ascribe our successes to ourselves and our failings to external events. This is a thing called the illusion of control. So when things go our way, our illusion of control kicks in. And it's really nice to believe that it's the techniques. It's the techniques that I use. It's the way that I meditate. It gives you this feeling of agency. Now, as things stand at the moment, I have those techniques and I can use them in a more artificial environment. So I can, if I was to feel really difficult emotions, I'd be able to process them without actually having to go and sit in nature to do it. But looking back at it, I think it's highly probable, because the nature meditation environment that I sought out was so far, just to get as far as I possibly could from any human sounds, any human experiences. I just wanted to be around trees and birds and plants. I didn't even want agricultural land. I wanted woodland or heathland or somewhere where there was nobody. And I perceived, passing walkers as an annoying intrusion into that, and airplanes and traffic noise and all of this kind of stuff. And that's kind of pretty standard. A lot of people do that. See that, these incidental noises, sounds rather, which are part of our modern world, are intrusions on their personal quiet, calm place that they want to be in. And my personal quiet, calm place, I wanted to be in nature. I think it's probably likely that if I hadn't done that, then I wouldn't have been able to internalize these skills to the point where I can now use those skills without actually needing to go out into nature. And if you want to learn those skills, come along on the 20th, because that's what I'll be teaching. And so what I'd done is I'd set up a cyclical process. And what it consisted of was I was using being in nature to help me process my emotions and my baggage. That was helping me to release the barriers that I'd created between myself and the natural world and other people. And then that new connection to the natural world and to other people then helped me heal in another way. And I've seen this a multitude of times. I've seen people who are really struggling, and then as they heal, what happens is they connect. So you might have somebody who's feeling alone and lonely and rejected and isolated and fearful. And then after a time, as their healing evolves, and everybody's healing is different. This is just a path to healing through nature and through meditation. What happens is they reconnect, and you hear that they've joined some group, that there's a relationship that's arisen and in contact with more people. And the end result of that, very often, is they come along to the meditation classes less, which is fine. Yeah, it's not that I want to sit, I want to have that process. I want people to come along, learn the benefit of the skills, use them, heal, grow, connect, repeat. And so the what happens in a meditation when we're healing is an entirely personal and private thing. But there is a pattern to it. This is something that I mention in the 6-week course, what I call the Gaia process. We acknowledge our feelings and our suffering and our emotions and all, you know, whatever it might happen to be. And by acknowledging it, what we're actually doing is labeling it. It needs a name. Yeah, so let's say fear. There you go. So I've got fear of some event, anxiety about some event. I've named it. The next process is to accept it, and that's easier said than done. And the reason for that is because the whole thing can appear overwhelming. You sit down, you're beginning your meditation, you may not have meditated before, the mind's so noisy, it keeps going back to whatever the melodrama of the day is. The melodrama of the day might not actually be the source of your suffering. That could be something that's happened in the past. For example, it might be your current situation. But generally, the mind's going to sort of current problems and future problems. It's not going to, I am an anxious person and I'm aware that my anxiety is out of proportion to the things that I'm anxious about. It doesn't go there. Instead, it goes to, I've got to do this, do that. I'm worried about this. I'm anxious about that. And so all of this is going on at the same time. And so there's a process of really calming the mind and then working with the emotions. It doesn't really come second, but if the mind is not able to focus, focus is part of the process of acceptance, which is the second part of this process of healing, the Gaia process. So we acknowledge it, you know, I have this, might be anxiety, might be fear of the future, fear of failure, fear of success, fear of poverty, fear of rejection, whatever it might happen to be. And you know, the list is infinite and changes from one person to the other. It might not even be that, there might be other emotions. So we've got the name for it. Accepting it, that's the difficult bit. And nature can do that for us. Nature, when we're in nature, it literally absorbs our stress. We can go to some place. Most of us have these places in our mind, natural places we can go to. We can sit down and it absorbs our stress. And the stress is the body's response to the anxiety. And the anxiety and the worry is in the mind, and the anxiety is also in the mind, but it manifests itself through the body as emotion. And by processing it, by accepting it, we are able to release it. And then we can move on. And then, unfortunately, for most of us, a few decades old, human beings, we've got in a few years worth of work in this area. It's not a quick process because it took a while to get there. It's going to take a while to release it. But that is the process. And I'm increasingly more convinced as time goes on that the location being outside as you go through this process of acknowledging and accepting and releasing your personal emotional baggage, being in nature is a pivotal part of that. And then while that happens, these barriers break down. You find yourself connecting in ways and with people that you wouldn't have thought possible before. That's definitely happened to me. So that's just an insight into my personal opinion. Although I don't believe I'm alone in having this opinion. My personal perspective on a very powerful path to making personal development progress. Just like to get yourselves comfortable. And step through the portal in the barrier between us and the present moment. The modern mind creates a barrier between us and the present moment. And noticing the sound of the bell move through time, we step through that barrier, through the portal of the sound. And that experience of stepping into the present moment brings us to an awareness of the hubbub of the present moment. Human voices, traffic, airplanes, various sounds, movements of the breath, rising and falling, wind in the trees, and we're allowing the present moment to carry us through time. Like a leaf's carried along a stream. And the experiences we notice, the breath cycle, sounds, the chatter of the mind, it's like the banks of the stream passing as the leaf floats along on the stream. So We're allowing ourselves to be carried through time by the present moment. And if we observe thought, then witnessing the passage of thought through time will also carry us through it. Then we're listening out for thought. Because we can recognize that thought is part of the hubbub of the present moment, just like feelings are. Any bodily sensation. All of the events in the present moment, what we can see, what we can hear, the inner dialogue, whether we're aware of it chattering away or whether we've adopted a mantra and we're repeating the mantra. All of the inner and outer phenomena the most favored one to focus on is the breath. We're observing the cycle of the breath, the rising and falling of the breath. And because of its constant movement, the breath becomes the energy that we connect to. Guides us through time. Belly rising, belly falling. And you can note the cycle of the breath. If it works for you, what we're doing with this is we're noticing the breath rising and falling, and then we're noting it. Staying in the mind, rising and falling. And we notice the natural tendency for the breath to follow the noting. Instead, we want the noting to follow the breath. But we just want to be the witness of the breath. And when the breath rises, we say rising. And when the breath falls, we stay falling. So our focus is on the breath. We're waiting it for it to rise. waiting for it to fall. And now we can regulate the breath. Checking in with the breath, checking in with the body. Just witnessing the posture of the body. Noticing the tendency to lean forward. To have tension in the posture. And instead releasing that tension. Noticing the out-breath, extending it ever so slightly. And the easiest and most frictionless way to do this is to just make it slightly audible. The more sound, the longer the breath. Just a tiny little sound in the throat or in the mouth or in the nostrils. Or in the chest. And we're gently extending the out breath. And so now checking in with the body again and asking the question, where is the tension or where is the discomfort? And then we bring our attention to that place. Could be the shoulders, could be the jaw, the eyes, the face, the hands, wherever. There's either tension or discomfort or both. We bring our awareness and our extended out breath to it. And we note in the mind, releasing, releasing. So for tension in the jaw, place my tongue against the sharp part of the bottom teeth. I make sure that my head is balanced comfortably and my elbows are by the side. I notice the out breath moving down nostrils, mouth and lips, jaw and throat. And on each out breath, I'm saying in the mind, releasing, releasing. Similarly, any tension in the neck, the back, any discomfort. Associating the out-breath, the extended out-breath with the tension. We want to practice this to the point where it becomes habit. And two things happen. One is we become aware of the tension, and the other is we become aware that we're using the tool to release it. So for the shoulders, we're scanning down from the base of the skull down to where both arms are hanging. And if we sit with our elbows back and the head balanced comfortably, each out breath, the shoulders are a little bit lower. Similarly, so with thought, each time that we notice that the mind's wandered, releasing that train of thought. Back to the breath, rising and falling. Noticing the sound of the bell passing through time. Noticing the sound of the bell passing through time. Whenever you're ready, gently return your attention to your surroundings.